Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Tuesday. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The colors of our set, the colors of Joy's dress. There's just optimism flowing all over America. And our show today, feel very good about everything these days. The draft is over. 1 hour from now, the coaching hires are in, the free agency moves are in, the draft is all complete. I'll give you my first Herd hierarchy. Now, I'm allowed to do several more due to injuries in camps.
Mm-hmm.
My first Herd hierarchy in 1 hour for the year, top 10 teams in the league. Coachings are all done, coaching changes, the free agency stuff's done, the draft is all in, we're ready to go.
It's basically football season.
It is. Terry Bradshaw, an hour from now. So I saw another story yesterday. This happened at the very end of our show. Joy and I were talking about this. There's apparently a story a couple years ago. I didn't know about this. Aaron Rodgers was furious that the Packers let go of a lightly used wide receiver. I knew they were mad years ago. He was when they got rid of, the coach, the quarterback coach, and didn't tell him. And I knew he was mad about Jordan Love. And now he's got a wide receiver who made 20 catches in 2 or 3 years. He was mad about that. I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's just make the – you cannot win a Super Bowl with this level of dissension and animosity and acrimony in the organization, and it's not going to get better. And I was thinking about this. What is Aaron and the Packers? It is a relationship. It is a marriage. You sign a contract. When you get married, you're signing stuff, right? You got to go get your license. Why? That's what the way sports is. I mean, you are contractually tied to it. So it is a relationship. It is a marriage. And to fix a marriage, you got to go to therapy. You got to make sacrifices. But even if you do all that, once you lose trust, it's really over. You can go to therapy forever. If I don't trust you or you don't trust me, we can smile. We can still be intimate occasionally. We can go to dinner parties, vacations, not yell at each other in front of the kids. But deep down, the reservoirs at your soul, I don't trust you, you don't trust me. It's over, really. It's not a great relationship. And Aaron Rodgers will never unsee the Jordan Love pick. And Aaron just happens to be a guy that forgets nothing and remembers everything. The trust has been lost. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Green Bay is about Super Bowls. This isn't the Bengals here. This isn't the Lions here. It's about Super Bowls. You're not winning a Super Bowl with this level of animosity. Trust has been lost. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz. Philadelphia knew Carson could still play. Carson Wentz liked a lot about Philadelphia, but they lost trust in each other. Now, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, they had their issues this offseason. But they didn't lose trust in each other. Russell Wilson was just tired of saying, go Hawks. And Russell said, I want an offensive line and better pieces, and I'm going to go public with it. And what did Seattle do? They fixed it. Fast. Russell Wilson, a couple years ago, I want more money. What did Seattle do? Okay, they fixed it. Gave him a contract, got draft picks. Twice, Russell Wilson's gone public because he's mad at him. It's not that he doesn't trust Seattle. But he wants them to listen to him. And what do they do every time? They listen and immediately act. Remember that rumor, Russell Wilson's going to the Giants? It went public. I was told by a source it was real. Literally 2 weeks later, they had a new contract. Russell was second, third highest paid quarterback. This year, he complained about the offensive line. What did they do? They went and got him a tight end. They just drafted a wide receiver. They got Gabe Jackson left guard. They re-signed the fullback. They re-signed Chris Carson. They made the offense better. And they got rid of the offensive coordinator and got a new one and made sure they gave Russell the phone number and they talked 2 days in. Trust was never lost in Seattle. By the way, when Tom Brady left New England, it was a trust issue. Remember Tom, the year before he left, was barking on television to wide receivers, get open! Get open. Tom had lost trust that despite the fact for 10 years he took pay cuts, They couldn't get him legitimate wide receivers and tight ends. He lost trust in Belichick's ability to land elite skill people. Goff and McVay. What was the issue? McVay lost trust that Goff, against the best teams, couldn't make plays. That the protection had to be perfect, the play design had to be perfect, and football's not perfect. They broke up. Garoppolo and Shanahan, they like each other. There's no question they like each other. But Shanahan drafts a quarterback and says publicly, we don't trust Garoppolo's body. There's a lot of different trust issues. Kyle Shanahan, like, we can't trust Garoppolo to stay healthy. Brady, I can't trust Belichick to draft receivers, tight ends, and skill people. By the way, where did Tom go? An organization that had a bunch of tight ends and wide receivers and skill people. McVay doesn't hate Jared Goff, but he didn't trust him in big spots against the best teams and pass rushes unless the play was perfect. But Russell and Pete want the same thing. The difference is Pete generally wants the defense to be great, so he'll trade a bunch of draft picks for a safety. And Russell's like, no, I'm the star. Make the offensive line and the wide receiving corps better. They just had a disagreement on how to get better. But that's why that marriage works. It's not perfect. Russell and Pete's not perfect, but Aaron in Green Bay is done. It's done. He'll never unsee Jordan Love. And when you start complaining in the last couple years, Aaron now apparently, according to a story, is complaining about a lightly used wide receiver who was let go and he wasn't told. I mean, come on. Now you're just picking fights. I mean, now you're just arguing, 4 days ago, I left a coffee cup in the sink and you didn't put it in the dishwasher. That's an argument? That's trust loss. That's when you start making crap up. And Greg Jennings said something on our show recently. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. Green Bay is what Green Bay is. They're never going to mortgage the future, draft picks, free agents. They're never going to do that. That's not who they are. They're not going to do what Tampa's doing. They're not going to do what Seattle's doing. They're not going to do what Philadelphia did. They're not going to spend the money on free agents that New England just did, as Greg Jennings knows their culture and their nature.
They didn't get what Aaron wants. So it tells me that they're just throwing salt on a wound, throwing dirt on the grave. Look, we're moving on eventually. Face it. This is what we do. You know it. The writing's been on the wall with Bart Starr, with Brett Favre, now with you. This is how we operate.
It's over. Just rip the Band-Aid off. It's so much easier. All right, I want to shift to this. As you know, I did not think the 49ers drafting Mac Jones was a great idea. My takeaway is, listen, draft Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Either one that's dynamic. Either one. I was more Trey Lance than Justin Fields by the end, but draft either one. But Mac Jones, you can't sell that to the locker room. And I was also a big fan of keeping Garoppolo around. I've said this multiple times. You only gave up a second rounder for him. You don't need to win another trade. Trey Lance isn't ready to play. I like Justin Fields. He may not be ready to play. It's the NFC West. It's the best division in football. Just keep Garoppolo around. You won the trade already. I mean, if he stays healthy the whole year, you're going to win the division. You have a chance to win the division. You could be a Super Bowl team. If he doesn't stay healthy and falls apart in week 8 or 9, put the young guy in. But there's no reason to ship him off now. It's the NFC West. You want to face Pete Carroll twice and McVay twice and Kyler Murray twice. No matter how good you are, Garoppolo should stick around. So yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, Shanahan was talking about Garoppolo, keeping him, and the situation they're in right now at quarterback.
Jimmy's definitely our starter right now, and right now there isn't competition because I don't believe Trey would be in a position to compete. Jimmy is too good of a player. He's got too good of a grasp of our offense. I'm not going to sit here and say I'll never play a rookie quarterback, and I'm not going to sit here and say I will play him. That's kind of up to him. When he's ready to compete, which that doesn't mean he tells me, that doesn't mean I tell him, hey, we'll all see it. And I think it'll start with me, but it'll go to the coaches, it'll go to the players. And guys know when a guy's ready to compete with a starter, and you kind of get that vibe.
Now, that's interesting. Guys know when a young guy's ready to compete with a starter. So what Kyle Shanahan is saying, we're men, we're visual animals. Women are more nuanced than that. We're visual animals. as he said, guys will know when the young guy is ready. That's not a small thing. Guys will know. It's very easy to sell guys on stuff they can see. My wife buys stuff. She can just read about it. She trusts her friends. Not me. I got to see it. Car, see, drive by. That's how I work. I got to see it. That's how guys are. We got to see it. It's interesting Shanahan says that. One of the reasons I like San Francisco keeping Garoppolo and drafting Trey Lance. You're going to get a buy-in with Trey Lance. Okay, first of all, Garoppolo knows the system. Guys like him. He looks the part. He got to a Super Bowl. Trey Lance and Justin Fields, let's talk Trey here, looks the part. He's actually bigger than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's more athletic than Jimmy Garoppolo. He throws a deep ball as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners, the first day in camp, those guys are going to be like, they like Jimmy G. They got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. But you're going to buy in to Trey. You're going to be like, he's a good-looking guy. He's confident. He's big. He's tall. He's strong. He's fast. He's going to rip off a run and run past one of those linebackers. Guy's going to be like, woo! We get what our staff did there. I never bought that with Mac Jones. Mac Jones, smaller than Jimmy G, doesn't have the arm, not as big. Now, our radio audience can't see this, but Jimmy G and Mac Jones, locker room, first day of practice. Go ahead and put it up. You think there's buy-in? I'm being totally honest. You think there's buy-in? Nah, bro. The bottom line here is Jimmy Garoppolo, those dudes like him. They trust him. They can see him. The square jaw, the Super Bowl, the confidence, the swagger, the arm. They like Jimmy G. They like him. He just can't stay healthy. So when they draft Trey Lance and he goes into camp, guys are going to be like, he ain't ready to play, but dude, you see that guy peel that one off today? You see that guy run? You get buy-in. Dave Wannstedt always says, you can lose games, don't lose the locker room. So the Niners locker room is going to look at Garoppolo at practice. He knows the playbook. But they're going to see Trey Lance and they're going to be like, oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I get Mac Jones here. Remember, he can play now, so you got to move off Jimmy G. I don't think there's buy-in. I'm not picking on him, but he's smaller than Jimmy G, not built like Jimmy G, doesn't run as good as him, not as athletic as Jimmy G. I don't think he has a better arm than Jimmy G. According to all the scouting reports, Mac Jones' arm is average. Jimmy G's got a pretty good arm. So how good does it feel today in San Francisco? Kyle Shanahan, today, I got Jimmy G, I got a Super Bowl roster, I got a stud at quarterback who got me to a Super Bowl. And then you get this kid coming in who's not ready to play yet, but wow. I mean, if you can't see his ceiling three practices in, then you're a blind man. You can't see. So I think so much of sports and so much of men is you can sell me stuff I can see. I mean, that's part of our problem in America is we have to see everything, right? We don't read as much. We only like headlines. But I always thought, keep Garoppolo, get one of these 6'4", 220 guys that can run around. You can get buy-in. I never bought the players are going to look at Mac Jones and go, Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year, Matt Stafford's arm twice a year, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. That, I don't buy it. We're simple creatures, folks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Terry Bradshaw is on the show in about an hour from now, about 50 minutes, and he's talking about Aaron Rodgers. He was on radio in New York talking about Aaron Rodgers and his demands and his neediness. And Terry Bradshaw thinks it just makes Aaron Rodgers look incredibly weak. Here it is.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had him coming at me from all angles. I embraced it. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay.
Listen, we got to be honest about this. The world's changed. Quarterbacks now are paid more. Quarterbacks now, because of the rules, mean more. They're pampered more. You can't hit them anymore. The world has changed. It was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and early 90s, your best player could be a running back, and you could be talked about as a Super Bowl team. If your best player is a running back now, if that's where the offense runs through, we don't even talk about you. You're just not a Super Bowl team. I mean, here's how quarterbacks were allowed to be treated in the 70s and 80s, including Terry Bradshaw. You'd be thrown out of games. You'd be out for a month. You would be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars if you hit quarterbacks. I'm showing this to our audience on FS1. You couldn't hit Aikman like this. You couldn't hit Bradshaw like this. You're not allowed to hit those guys like that anymore. You can't grab and throw guys. Joe Montana and Bradshaw and Aikman, there was headhunting going on. Elway, headhunting going on. The last time I saw a quarterback get hit like that was Cam Newton, and it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I swear to God we spent a week and a half on it. People were furious that the NFL allowed Cam Newton to get hit like that. I mean, so the world's changed. You can't hit players like that. And the reality is, it's like technology. In the 80s and 90s, technology was another industry. Ooh, it's growing. Now it's the world. It doesn't even matter if you're like a big box retailer. If you don't have websites, if you don't have streaming, if you're dead, it's over. It's done. Our phones, we live through them. I can order food, watch TV. I got my calls. I got my alarm clock. I don't need anything. I got my phone. I'll be able to wash and dry clean clothes on that thing within like 2 years. That's the reality of it. So technology went from just an industry to running our lives. Quarterbacks were important. Now they're everything. Bill Belichick's the best coach ever. They lose Brady. They're kind of lost. They spent a fortune in free agency. They had a losing record. They don't look close to as good as Buffalo. I'm not sure they can beat Miami anymore. Like, you just got to treat these guys different. You have to play the game. And these are human beings. Some of them, your Kevin Durant and Aaron, are a little more sensitive. It's not ideal, but they're human beings. Aaron tends to be a little prickly, a little sensitive. Okay, that's fine. Listen, if Jordan Love could play, maybe Aaron wouldn't be as sensitive. But when you draft Jordan Love and he can't play yet, what does it do to Aaron? It empowers him. Aaron's like, oh, you think that's going to replace me? If you'd have drafted Jordan Love, and let's be honest, he looked like Josh Allen, 6'6", big arm, runs like the wind. Aaron Rodgers would not be releasing a statement through sources before the draft, I don't want to be here, because he wouldn't have the power. This all comes down to Jordan Love. If the dude was a rock star, Green Bay would have total leverage, and Aaron would see it at practice every day. But like Aaron now, you empowered him. Like, he's already a little prickly and a little difficult and a little high maintenance. That's okay. I'm not blaming. Yeah, whatevs. I got joy. I was lucky. Doesn't always work that way, right? Like, ideally, you'd like him to be a little more focused and resilient, a little more Brady, a little more. But it's okay. But once you drafted Jordan Love and the dude's not ready to play, you just empowered him. It's a flex. Aaron's a 24/7 flex. He knows he's got Green Bay right where he wants him. And you do have to pamper these guys more. You do. You know, if Belichick wouldn't have had a losing record last year, if it had gone to the free agent market, stop getting linebackers and corners and go get a wide receiver.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, I keep hearing with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff, well, does Aaron want to go here and Aaron want to go there and Aaron here? There's a reason Aaron Rodgers reached out to Mark Schlereth when Mark Schlereth said Denver wants him. Because Aaron doesn't have any say in the matter. He doesn't have a veto clause. He doesn't have a no trade clause. Aaron's only leverage is, I may retire. Like, if you traded him to the Houston Texans, which is a grease fire, if I was Aaron, I would retire. I would go to Jeopardy for a couple years and then come back into the league. We know Aaron wants to go to the West Coast. But again, that doesn't mean I think Aaron would be willing not to go to the West. Denver's not the West Coast. It's closer to Kansas City than Los Angeles. And it's got cold winters, just like Green Bay. But I think he would consider Denver. I think he'd consider Washington. We've talked about the Las Vegas Raiders. Let me just throw two teams out there that have not been discussed, and I think they're very interesting places. Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores has said, we love Tua. The GM, Chris Greer, we love Tua. But if you went and got Aaron Rodgers, everybody would get, hey, we weren't lying, it's Aaron Rodgers. This is what the Broncos did when they had Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was winning. He had a faith-based following in Denver. You couldn't just move off Tebow with a backup. But then Peyton Manning came to town, and everybody went, well, okay, it's Peyton Manning. You could move off Tua with Aaron Rodgers. Also, it's an AFC team. You get Aaron to the other side on conferences. The other thing is Miami has had a lot of draft capital. It's a very young football team. What they don't need is more draft picks. What they need is veterans. They need a veteran presence with that offensive line and young receivers and young defense. So I think he fits. Also, you're Miami. You're in a division with Bill Belichick and Josh Allen. Don't you kind of need a playmaker at quarterback? Not a guy that needs a perfect protection? I think Miami is very interesting. And I think you could move off Tua with Aaron Rodgers, and Brian Flores could say, hey, we weren't lying. It just fell into our lap. The other one is the New York Giants. Think about this for a second. Next year, the New York Giants have two firsts, two thirds, and two fourths. They could give up a ton to Green Bay. You could give Green Bay a first, a second, a third, a fourth just next year. Just next year. So Green Bay wouldn't have to wait for years getting crushed for giving up Aaron Rodgers. You could have four great picks next year from them. You could draft another quarterback if you wanted to. Also, I think Aaron would be willing to listen. It's a weaker division. They have tremendous weapons. They have an excellent, better than Green Bay defense. So the Giants, to me, with all those picks, and Dave Gettleman, by the way, they're not firing Joe Judge. Okay, if anybody's going to get run here, if they don't win, it's going to be Gettleman. He's got to win. He said yesterday, hey, you explore everything. You do, especially when it could be your last year with the New York Giants. So don't kid yourself. If you look at some of Arizona's moves, they've been very aggressive. Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury need to win this year. Don't kid yourself. You know, Ryan Pace for Chicago, getting a lot of heat. Think I'll move up and get Justin Fields. That'll buy me good press for a year. So, a lot of hope. That move by Chicago is a lot of hope. It buys everybody, you know, one more year of good income. So I think the Giants are interesting to keep your eye on. And again, it's Aaron wants to go west, but Aaron's big. New York, they could film Jeopardy in New York. You know, there's a studio. There's a production house somewhere in New York. He could get it done.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is my first Herd hierarchy based on coaching staff hires, free agency, and the draft, which some teams, Rams had a weird draft, Cowboys draft, a lot of question marks, Chargers draft was unbelievable, Miami's draft unbelievable. So here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams, according to Colin. Number 10.
I'd say Green Bay. I didn't like their draft. They reached for a corner. They have Aaron Rodgers. It's a well-run operation, but there's a lot of animosity. They did not add any notable free agents. What did they get out of the draft that can help them this year? Amari Rodgers, third-round wide receiver, but Aaron doesn't throw to guys he doesn't know generally. I think there's animosity in the building, a lot of tension, a lot of noise, but I give them the respect of a top-10 team, but I don't like what I hear or see.
Number 9.
I'm going to do the Ravens. I liked them last year. I like them this year. They had a weakness, wide receiver. They went and attacked it. They brought in Sammy Watkins. They drafted Rashad Bateman. That's what they needed to do. Also added to their offensive line, got Kevin Zeitler and drafted an offensive lineman early. So at least they know their weaknesses. Can Lamar Jackson play from behind? Is he as good as Josh Allen and Mahomes? I don't think so. But I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I got him 9.
Number 8.
Rams. I didn't love their offseason. Yeah, they got Matt Stafford, but they lost John Johnson, a great safety, Troy Hill, a corner, Austin Blythe, their starting center, Gerald Everett, a very dynamic tight end. They're good. You can tell from their draft. They're infatuated with wide receivers and speed. They think they're a Super Bowl team. They just went out and tried to find the fastest guys on the planet who've ever played football. So they're in the Super Bowl bubble, but I didn't love their draft. And I thought they're off season. You get Stafford, but you lost some pieces I like.
Number 7.
Chargers. I think they had the number 1 off season, according to me and according to Pro Football Focus. Melvin Ingram, Derwin James, 2 of their top 3 defensive players come back off injury. Corey Lindsley, the number 1 rated center, comes over. Rashawn Slater, had many people thought he was the best tackle in the draft. I think their roster is stacked. Herbert looks like a star ready to explode. This team is ready to roll. My only question, why I have them down at 7, because I think you can make an argument after the draft and free agency. They got a top 4 or 5 roster. I just don't know if Brandon Staley's a head coach. We'll wait and see.
Number 6.
49ers. I may have them low here. It's really based on Jimmy Garoppolo. They get George Kittle back, Jimmy Garoppolo back, Nick Bosa back. That in itself is a really good football team. They also went out and said, what do we do well? O-line and run the ball. And they got more of it. Alec Mack, the center. They went and drafted Trey Sermon, a running back. They went and got Aaron Banks, another offensive lineman. So they fortified what they're already really good at. O-line, run the football, empower. To me, that's about empowering Trey Lance. If he eventually plays this year, they went and doubled down on their O-line, which was already good. They doubled down on their running backs, which were already strong.
Number 5.
Cleveland. Probably have them a spot too high. I thought they had an amazing offseason. Here's my concern. They could have 8 to 9 new defensive starters. Depending on how their schedule falls, it could be a rocky September and early October. But they went and attacked their secondary, which was a mess last year. And remember, they get a couple of guys back. Greedy Williams, Grant Dilpit are guys they drafted in the secondary, super talented, but had injuries. So we don't even know how good they are. So this is a great roster. I would argue after Tampa could be the best roster in the NFL. Really young and new faces back end could make it a sluggish September, though.
Number 4.
The Seahawks went 12-4. Can we remember that? And they got better offensively. New OC. They went and got Gerald Everett. He'll be their best tight end. They went and got a starting left guard, Gabe Jackson. They went and got another receiver. So let's not go crazy here. This is a 12-4 football team. Russell Wilson got more good pieces. They also went and drafted a corner. That was another weakness. So this remains a top 5 or 6 roster. The offensive line is not as bad now as everybody thinks.
Number 3.
Buffalo. I like everything they've done for the last 5 years. I really do. I love this organization. Their issue was they needed a little more pop offensively. They got running back Mac Breida and Emmanuel Sanders. They also need a better pass rush. What were their first 2 picks? Pass rushers. I just trust the front office and the coach. I like Buffalo. They went and got a little more explosive on offense and got a pass rush.
Number 2.
Kansas City totally rebuilt their offensive line. Plus, they got humiliated in the Super Bowl, which has a nice way of invigorating offseason workouts. Orlando Brown, Kyle Long, Joe Tooney went and got the best center in college football. They already had a good offensive line, but they said, we're rebuilding this puppy. They not only have the best offensive line, they now have one of the deepest offensive lines.
Number 1.
I'll just give it to Tampa. They return all the coordinators and all the starters from the team, so they would be my number 1 team. I think that's just kind of an automatic. Now, there are teams I like, Miami, but I think I put them at 11 because I just don't know what I get from Tua. But we got a lot of good teams in the NFL.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bradshaw's noisy, but I like him. Terry Bradshaw, the Hall of Famer, 4 Super Bowls, is now joining us.
Noisy.
I got the damn season already mapped out, Bradshaw. I got all my teams I like. I got everything all set up.
I know.
I got to tell you something, Colin. That's impressive. I'm sitting here listening to you name all these people, and I don't even know all the head coaches yet. And I'm like, man, that's this guy's sharp. That's why you're making the big bucks. You work every day. You got a full-time gig.
Yeah.
And I came in, you know, I've been out on the seats. We just picked okra last week, and we're out on the highway. We got a big stand there, and we're selling stuff, just trying to get some cash. Been rough.
Well, let me say this. You made news yesterday because you said, you know,
oh, yeah.
You said Aaron comes off a little weak. So I'm going to listen. I rarely disagree with you, but I want to say this first, and you react to it. That we live in a time now, Terry, where you can't touch the quarterback. The whole league is built. All the rules now are quarterback. Even Belichick looked lost last year when he lost a quarterback. Don't you have to in 2021, Terry? Don't you have to pamper a little bit the quarterback? The whole league now is built around. You used to be able to have great running backs and an average quarterback, and we go, boy, that's a Super Bowl team. If you don't have a quarterback now, Terry, we just kind of cancel you. We don't even talk. So do you have to baby Aaron a little?
No, I don't think so. I disagree with that. I do think that our superstar quarterbacks, our superstars, period, feel a little bit empowered by their fame and certainly by their fortune. And I do believe that while Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal, look, he's an incredible player. But I could sit here and tell you right now, he has probably the worst footwork I've ever seen for a starting quarterback. I mean, I was talking to John Zarnecki this morning, and I said, he's an amazingly accurate, he protects the football, he puts up monster numbers, but his footwork is all over the place. And I don't know if that's because he got hit a lot, and he's out of position and doesn't trust his lineman, very seldom steps into a throw. Pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. But I do believe they are a little bit pampered. A lot of coaches would say, you know what? He deserves to be pampered. He's this, he's that. And I say, look, you signed the contract. You've got a couple of years left on that. If you want to be like Tom Brady, play out your contract and then move on. But in this case, you can't force. Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? No more right than I have to call Eric Shanks and say, tear my contract up. I had a really good year. And you go, well, you've got 4 years left on it. Yeah, but I had a really good year. And I'm Terry Bradshaw, and I'm a superstar. I don't believe in that. You know I'm old school. You know that. And I just think these players are just – look, he wants to go to the West Coast. 49ers, they eliminated him from that. He's not going to San Diego, and he's certainly not going to the Rams now. I don't know where he can go because they're going to have a cap hit there in Green Bay that's monstrous. And I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you. Don't go to him. Make him come back to you and answer for it. Or he can retire and move on and do Jeopardy, whatever it is that he wants to do.
But by the way, that retirement thing is interesting. It is. Now.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, in your day, you didn't make the money that they do now. He's made $1 zillion. So, let's say you had $100 million in the bank account or whatever Aaron has. Could you have retired with only two Super Bowls or one or two if you just, you know, Chuck Nolan, he was tough on you. You didn't get pampered. Right. They were drafting Mark Malone. Noel was yelling at you all the time.
Left out. They brought him in from all over the place.
Could you have, if you only had one Super Bowl or two and you were just tired of it and you had a lot of money in the bank, could you have retired early?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? You know who you're talking to here? If I had $100 million in the bank and I'd won one Super Bowl and I had all these disagreements with the head coach or the front office and I've had a belly full of it and they're not doing what I want them to do, absolutely I could retire. I got $100 million in the bank. But, hey, listen, 95% of Americans don't understand this talk. Listen, 95% of the people in this country who keep this country going don't understand I want to go somewhere else. I'm not happy in Green Bay. They didn't get me a wideout. Well, weren't you the MVP in the league last year? Yes. And I've been the MVP three times now. but I'm not happy and I want to go somewhere else, or I want that general manager fired, or I can't believe they drafted a number one last year at quarterback. I mean, that just ticks me off. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit old school there. If he doesn't want to play for Green Bay, retire. Move on. Because you know what? When Brett Favre left, we all said, oh my God, the sky is falling. And around here comes Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't falling. And now he's going to leave. And then who's next? There's always somebody else. Colin, I don't know why we have to coddle these guys so much. Terry Bradshaw says anything about a superstar quarterback, I'm jealous or I'm just stupid. Or they come up with all these. He must have been drinking, you know, and I probably was, but it doesn't make any sense to me why you feel empowered. Why do you feel empowered just because you are in Green Bay and you're Aaron Rodgers and you've accomplished all this? Hey, my friend, I want to remind you something. Tom Brady played his contract out. Tom Brady's won 7 Super Bowls. Last time I looked, Aaron, you've won 1. There you have it.
Yeah. You know, all these young quarterbacks come in, and it was different in your day. You didn't have 7-on-7 camps when you were 9 years old and 10 years old. These guys now, they have a zillion throws. By the time they're 12, they're all ready to play.
I know.
So, but I do look at some of them, and I think they can win games now. You know the guy I feel sorry for? That Zach Wilson kid from BYU, because first of all, Terry, that division, Brian Flores, Sean McDermott, and Belichick are 3 of the top 4 defensive coaches in the league. It's a bad O-line. They want him to play day one. I look at that and I think to myself, when you went to the Steelers, did you have to start day one? What were the expectations? Was there a lot of pressure?
Oh, golly, it's back when we were in leather helmets. I don't know. Were we even on television back then? I started day one, but I wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And Colin, I agree with you here. I liked Zach Wilson a lot, and he's such a nice kid. He's such a nice kid that I'm even saying maybe he's a little bit naive. Maybe he's like me. He's going to New York, and he is a kid that's probably going to struggle, and you know what's going to happen. They're going to start screaming. And how well does he handle adversity? How well can he put up with the media and all the distractions of why aren't you this and why aren't you that? And he can't go on. He can't get in front of the reporters and go, well, my offensive line's not very good. My wide receivers aren't very good. Oh, and by the way, I don't have a tight end either. Oh, and running game? Well, we don't have a running game. I really feel for this kid. I hope I'm wrong. I've talked to his father. His father's a fabulous man. They're a wonderful family. And I just think he's going to get beat up, and we're going to find out how tough he is. I hear he's really, you know, he's really got the football acumen down. But I'm going to find out. You got to be tough as all get out on the inside to make it in this league. And New York are toughing you up for sure. I like him a lot. I don't know what he weighs right now, but by the time the season's over with, you can probably deduct 25 pounds because he's going to be running for his life.
Terry Bradshaw is joining us. You know, Terry, it's a different world where, you know, expectations, media, noise, all this stuff. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. Oh, I was talking to Michael Irvin. I said, God, you and Joe Namath are lucky there wasn't an iPhone. And Michael is always funny. Michael says, forget the iPhone. He goes, I couldn't get out of trouble in the 11 o'clock news era. Forget the iPhone era. I've been in trouble every 15 minutes. And I look at you and these young kids. I'm always kind of amazed, Terry. Most of these young quarterbacks are so mature. They really are. Were you mature at 21? What were you like?
No. Listen. I was so naive, so immature. Listen. If I came out today out of Louisiana Tech, I would probably be a 5th or 6th round draft pick. I would not be the first pick in the draft. I was no way was I ready to be a starter in the National Football League. Between my ears, physically, yes, But I had to learn so much about the media. And listen, you're right. There's two or three reporters I had to deal with. I can't imagine what these kids are going through with. When you come out of Florida, when you come out of Alabama, like Mac Jones is doing, when you come out of these big programs, you're on television all the time, you're constantly being interviewed, you go through a little bit of duress while you're performing, maybe, maybe not. Most of these big-time quarterbacks we have today have never been criticized in the NFL. I'm always jealous of a guy like John Elway, who was adored. Dan Marino, I mean, he's worshipped in Miami. Dan Fouts, I always say, God, what would it be like to do that? But then again, I look at myself and I say, well, I had to grow up. And I will give Chuck Noll credit for this. He put me in tough situations, and it could have, I very easily could have just disappeared. And then I finally, and I told my agent, Ira Stahlberger, I said, you know what happened? I got downright nasty. I got downright mean and nasty. And inside emotionally, I just hated everybody. And I just took it out on everybody. They didn't know it, but that's what motivated me. That's what got me. That's what saved me in the NFL. Because if I hadn't have done that, Colin, I was out. I was gone. I was not ready, not ready at all. Most of these guys, you're right. I don't know about the guy at North Dakota State that went to San Francisco. I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about him. He's the only one. I don't know anything about. Listen, I like Travis that went to Tampa Bay out of Florida. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So, and there's a kid that's already been through every bad thing that can happen for a kid. Never starting in high school, never starting and walking on at Florida. And now look at me, went to the second round of Tampa Bay. And I know a little bit about him. And I'm saying, now that's the kind of guy I like, a guy that's been through it and made, you know, and survived it. You got to go through you got to go through the trenches in this league. You got to struggle. Even Brady, when he was drafted in the, sixth or seventh round, went right to Mr. Kraft and said, hey, you know, you're going to be glad you drafted me. He had a chip on his show. He used that to his benefit, and it made him tough. You got to have that to play in the National Football League, especially at quarterback.
I can't believe you were ever mean. You're a big jar of cookie dough now. You're just an old sappy.
Oh, I'm no. Hey, listen, I am the sugar coat. I am a baby doll.
Yeah.
There's no question. But Colin, I say one thing, and the world comes on top of me.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Well, I guess. I mean, what's wrong with that?
That's right.
If you asked me a question.
Yeah.
I got opinions now.
Hey, listen, if you were a backup for Tampa Bay in the 70s, nobody give a rip. But you got a bunch of rings, so everybody gives a rip. That's the good news.
Oh, and by the way, since I'm being honest, what happened to the beard? I thought you really looked really good. Now it's gone.
Nope.
I meant to say what?
The mustache, it's gone. Mustache looked terrible. Terry, it looked terrible. It was You know what? I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, I wouldn't want to be friends with you. And I thought, I got to get rid of it.
Hey, listen, the job you got, nobody wants to be your friend anyway.
That's enough, Bradshaw. Get out of here. Terry Bradshaw.
Send me my money.
All right. See you later, Terry Bradshaw.